So here we are making new piston rings for Bongo. The valve chest was a little bit worn, so I've reamed that out to a bigger size. So I've had to make new piston valves here. That's the piston valve with two heads, and it has piston rings that go on it, and I'm making the piston rings. These are unusual piston rings. They're called Klupitz rings. And most piston rings are a ring with a gap in the end, and they leak a little bit as the gap appears. These are called Klupitz, and they are a bit special because they go round twice. So there's the piston ring. You can see it's actually split in the middle there, as well as having a gap. But the ring goes all the way round, jinks across, and then all the way around again. So the idea is there's no gap for the steam to leak. So what we're doing today is to make Klupitz piston rings. And as you can imagine, they're not very easy to make. In particular, getting rid of the gap that was in there when we start machining it. You'll see that in a moment. So what we've got here, this is the blank to make the piston. It's a tube I've machined already on the end of a big piece of stock. So the inside diameter is correct. The outside diameter is a bit left oversize. And what we've got to do, we've got to create that slot almost all the way around. And somewhere on here, there's a couple of little lines which I should be working to. Let's see if we can find them. They are here. So there's a couple of little lines. So the slot is going to go from one line all the way around to the other and not quite join in the middle. That is the beginning of the little bridging piece that goes from one side to the other. We've now cut the slot almost all the way around, but not quite. That's the little bridging piece that goes from one side of the ring to the other. So now I've got to move the bed of the mill along and set the cut to part off this nascent Klupitz piston ring. There we are, that's set that. So here is the Klupitz piston ring blank, you might call it, or the next stage. So we've now got the little groove all the way around, only a 64th of an inch or 15,000th of an inch, 0.4 of a millimetre, I think that might be. And that's almost all the way around, and now we've parted off. So now for the next stage. So what we now have to do is to mark out where I'm going to put the little cuts to make the little V-shape in. So I've got a protractor, a little metalworking protractor here. I'm going to line that up very carefully with the end there and hold it nice and square and do this with the scriber. That's one side marked. Do the other side. Exactly the same. So you can now begin to see the little shape. So I've got a cut down there and cut down there. Now the other thing that goes on is that I've got to do a little bit of fret saw. I don't know if you can see the saw, because it's a curved shape, although I've cut to the line there and there, inside there's a much bigger gap because the saw has got a curved shape, so it doesn't cut straight through like that. So I've got a little bit of fret saw work just to bring the back of that in, so that the line actually is square through the ring. Next stage. So I'm just going to use this. This is my mum who used to make jewellery. It's her. It's a piercing saw, it's called, by a jeweller. It's a fret saw, really. And it's got the tiniest blade you've ever seen. We've actually got some smaller ones, but that's the blade. And I'm going to just take out that little curved segment inside there with the fret saw. It takes a little while to get started because it's a perfectly sharp edge in the back. I just go the wrong way. So saws like this work towards you, but it won't come towards me just yet. Because that's it. How are we going? So now I'm just going to have another little look. Yeah, I think we call that a day on that side. So now we've got to do the other side. Just the same. Get it started because it's on a little sharp edge in there, as you can hear. That'll do, probably. So now, those little saw cuts go straight through rather than being on a curve there. So the next thing I've got to do is to cut along that little line and that little line there, which I can hardly see, but they're there. Don't know if you can see them in the light. I'll move it around. Maybe it'll catch the light somewhere. So for that job, I've got a very cute little saw. It's called a razor saw. It's extremely thin and it's got incredibly fine teeth. And I have to use it very slowly because it's, I don't even know if it's a high-speed steel blade. It's probably carbon steel blade. So if I go too fast, it will blunt it rather quickly. I could use the piercing saw, but I think there's a risk of breaking more blades than it's worth. So now I've got to try and cut down here. So the first problem is to get the cut started in the place I want it to be. And at the right angle. That will just, the little tiny bit in there, I think that will just break through now. Done. So that's now clear. Now you can see half a ring. Now to do the same on the other side. Do that side there. Done. So that one I cut through rather than trying to bust it then. So there we have got now, you can see, the beginnings of a clue-pit ring. The question is, how do you make it close that gap and spring outwards to be the correct size? Or to have some spring so that it has to be sprung into the bore it works in? So that is where a bit of magic happens. So here's the little clue-pit ring. I've put some oil on it to make it a bit easier for the next stage. So there's the clue-pit ring. What we've got to do, we've got to now try and get rid of this gap. And we've got to also give it a bit of spring so it's sprung outwards. And the way you do this with the clue-pit ring, it's a little bit magical. It's also a bit nerve-wracking. You have to turn it inside out. You have to flip it inside out. So what I've got to do, and this is cast iron, which is as brittle as can be. I've got to try and get that. See, that's coming over there now. And I've then got to try and bring this all the way round. Keep going. Keep going. At any moment it's desperate to snap. Now what I'm going to try to do is get this little piece here down on this side. Right, so that's got that bit completely on the wrong side. Now I've got to keep on going round and not snap it. Otherwise all the work you've just seen is for nothing. So here we go. Now this bit, this has now got to try and get this bit to go inside. This is where it gets really tricky. Try and get that out of the way. Right, that's now just about, that's now got that one in there. Now I've got to let this ping out, and I'm going to try and do it gently so it doesn't bang out and maybe try and snap itself doing that. So I don't know if you can see, it's just coming through now. There we are. So that is now one inside-out clue-pit ring. And you might wonder what I'm going to do next. The next thing is to, we're going to force it open on a little sizing bit of tool that I've made. We're going to force it open a bit, and then we're going to heat treat it to let all the stresses out so it'll then relax in this funny shape, and then we'll have to twist it back again. But there's one little thing to do before then. I don't know if you can see in here, you can just see the remnants of where that the circular saw, the slitting saw was coming. So I'm going to do a little bit of tidying up just in here and just in, you can hardly see it. I'm going to do a bit of tidying up with a needle file. So this is a little mandrel here. Its size is 1.022 times the original inner diameter of the ring. So you obviously have to work out some sizes to suit the rings you're making. So this is 1.022 times the diameter of the inner ring. So it'll stretch it just a little tiny bit. So that'll go on to there. I hope. There we go. Return it. That is sitting on there now, and now what we have to do is to heat treat it. We're going to relieve the stress. It's called stress relieving. So we're going to heat it to red heat, hold it for a minute or perhaps something like that, and all the little atoms in the cast iron in the ring will just jiggle around and rearrange themselves slightly so that that now, the shape it's in at the moment, is then the shape it wants to be in. It will relax now to that. There's a lot of tension in that. You saw me trying to get it turned inside out and stretched on here. There's a lot of tension in the cast iron, And when we've done this heat treatment, all that tension will go, and then there's another cunning bit. Just let it sit there for a minute or two. I think probably it's only a very thin bit of cast iron. It's probably stress relieved itself already. That is really quite hot in there. So we've left this for several hours to cool down now. So the idea is that although it was sprung on originally against its will, now that it's been heated to red heat, it's what's called stress relieved. So all the stresses in the metal have relieved themselves. The atoms struggle around a bit and adopt a slightly new sort of formation or shape inside the metal. And so the metal now, you can see there's no spring in it at all. So that is now to a larger size. And also, these are now relaxed like that. So when we put them back and turn it inside out again, they will now be trying to spring to close the gap that was there before. Now I've got to try to get it back. I've got to flip it over again, which is almost as heart-stopping as the other version. So I've got to lift this, get that bit started there. Can't remember how I do it. I think I find it more control to pull it towards me. That's got it started. Keep on going round. And what I've learned is to hold it there like that and then to get one bit right over. That seems to make it easier to go. It's pinged back. This bit's got to get over to here, look. If I can get that just to drop over this side without breaking it, then it becomes easier to go. They're a bit small, these rings. Bigger rings would be much easier. Right, let's see if we can get that hold there. Drop that bit down where it's meant to go. Let it go down there. Yeah, right, now it should. That's now gone where it's meant to be. Now let's see if I can keep going round. The last bit is the tickly bit. Yeah, it's just tucking under now, see? Right, and again, I'm going to let it go really gently so it doesn't ping and sort of shatter itself. I'm sort of going to fray it. I'm going to surround it with my fingers to try and just cushion it a bit. That's it. So now, that was the magic bit. So now, there's a Clupit piston ring. It's still not finished, but now it's trying to ping itself together. The gap has completely gone. I don't know if you can see, the gap's completely gone now. And now it's got a gap here, it's holding out. So when it goes in the bore, it's going to be sprung inwards like that. But as you can see now, it really wants to, those, I can hardly pull it apart, it's so tight. So you can see it's now got a real load trying to snap the two halves of the ring together. So the gap has gone, and we've now got a heat-treated Clupit piston ring. What we now have to do is to machine the two sides, because where the gap has gone, that one has sprung inwards. So you can see there's a mismatch there now. So that's why you leave a little bit of extra metal on the sides to machine it. Cast iron is full of graphite. Graphite is an excellent lubricant, and that is why piston rings are made from cast iron, because it's one of the few materials that will put up with this motion and the arduous conditions that piston rings work in.
So I've just got to, in order to squeeze the ring in enough to go into the next process, I've got to just take a little tiny bit off the ends of the rings there and there. I'll do that with a tiny file, and so as not to damage the rest, I've got a little bit of brass I can just wedge under there. So that now forms a little bit to stop my file running onto the rest of it. I get the right file. Yeah, that's it. So I'm going to hold it down, and I'm going to just take a little bit off the end here. See, that bit of brass is holding the ring so I don't damage it. So I'm just going to take a little bit off there. So that has just left a little bit of room to compress. It's just taken a little bit off it there. So the question now is, can I get the ring to go into the widthing chuck to take the little bit off each side in order to get it to the correct width? So here we are at the lathe, and we're now going to machine the width of the ring to get that to the correct dimension. So I've made this little, I call it a widthing chuck maybe, and it's really just a little bit of tooling machined up out of a bit of yarn. And the idea is I'm going to put the ring in here, and it's going to hold the ring to run it nice and true. So I've first of all got to try and get it to run in there. I can sort of twist it in probably. Is it going to go in? Yep. I'm going to get that bit in too.
A tiny thing
I've done on this is, in order to try and get the ring an even thickness all the way around, for the machining the first side, because there's a little step where the gap is, which is where the thickness of the sitting saw was, I've got a little tiny shim of brass which I'm going to put in down there on the side opposite it, and that is half the thickness of the sitting saw. So the sitting saw is 15,000 of an inch, and that is 8,000 of an inch. And that'll just help to even the ring up. Then we push it in like that. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to just tap it into place with a gentle hammer, a soft hammer. So here we go. Right, so that is in there now, in there. And I'm going to take a little tiny skim off the front face here just to get it level. So we start the lathe. So that has now cleaned up one side of the ring. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to take it out and put it back in and clean up the other side, and then we'll look at it and work out which side wants to take more metal off than the other, in order so it's each of the halves of the ring are the same thickness. So what I've got to do now is to take this out, and I think I've got a little sharpened screwdriver here which will just get in there, just ping it out. So a little thing I could mention, so first of all we say that we've now got one side is now faced off, and the step in the width there has now gone. So that's now correct. One little tiny thing I could mention is that the angle these slots are cut is actually slightly important. You could cut them at the opposite angle, you could cut them the other way. But doing it this way, when it's inserted in this chuck, it's only held on the springiness of the outside. When the chuck's rotating that way, it tends to open the ring out and grip it. I haven't got one cut the other way, but the other version of it is, if the chuck was here and turning this way, it would tend to wrap it in and then it would slip. So if for no other reason, cut the slots facing this way so that it will grip in that chuck. So we face off this side and got it nice and flat now. So now we can turn it round in the chuck and face off this side now. We don't need the little shim in there because this is now flat and there's no step there which is going to knock it out of true. So I only need that little shim that I made just for the first side. So that can go in there, sort of twist it in. There we go, that's it gone in. And I'm going to just tap it in just to make sure it is actually seated at the back. That's okay. So now we're going to machine the front side, side two. So that's completely cleaned up that side now. So what I'm going to do now is to take it out of the lathe, and there's quite a bit to go off it. When it gets down to that is actually set at the correct width, that face there. So if I face down to, I just touch in that face, it'll be pretty much exactly correct. However, I want to make certain it's even. So I've got to get it out again now. It's not necessarily very easy. So the thickness of the ring is 0.158 of an inch. We want to end up down at 0.125, which is an eighth of an inch, which is the width of the grooves. So we've got to take off 33 thousandths of an inch. What I want to find out first of all is, I want to find out how thick that is and how thick that is. So I'd end up with an even ring. So if I just do that and measure that. So that side has got 82 thousandths of an inch on it. And this side here has got 80. I've got a bit of muck under there. About 80,000. So they're actually pretty similar. So what we want to do, they're so similar it's not worth worrying about it at the moment. So what we want to do at the moment, we want to take off overall 33 thousandths of an inch. So what we could do is we could take off 15 off one side and then 15 off the other, and we'd be pretty much there. So we have now got the ring faced on both sides, and now we can measure it. So we're at 1.126. We really wanted to be 0.125, so that is very close. Just check how it is on the back side there. 0.127, it's the fact there was probably a bit of dust holding somewhere, holding it out slightly. So what I'm going to do now is just a tiny bit of hand finishing. It's a fraction thicker at the back there, 127, and here it is 126. So I'm going to do a little tiny bit of hand finishing just to get it perfect. We've got a flat machine surface, a little tiny bit of wet and dry paper, and literally we're just going to do that. Clean, check it again with a micrometer, and we should find now that we are, let me get the muck out from underneath it, coming down to exactly 0.125, and check round at the back. We've got half a thousandth of an inch to go. A human hair is about a thousandth or two thousandths of an inch. I think we just call that is accurate to within the tolerance. We're accurate to within a thousandth of an inch. So now, the last thing to do is we have to machine the outside diameter to be the finished diameter for the cylinder it's going to work in. That's the next job. Here we've got this sizing ring, which is going to compress the piston ring in to as if it was running in the engine. So I'm going to get it to go in. There we are. So that's now holding the piston ring at its compressed setting, and we're now going to put it in this next little bit of tooling here. And so this is going to hold it mounted on there concentric, so it all runs nice and true. And then we're going to clamp it with this special bit here. So we're going to clamp the piston ring on its end faces, so we're going to hold it like that so we can get at the outside face to machine it back to the final diameter that it's going to run at. And then it'll actually be round as well as being a bit dusted up by all the heat treatment we did. So just nip that on there to hold it. And that's now held the ring on the end. Then we should be able to slip this off. Famous last words. There we are. So the ring is now held in there, and you'll see that it's held. There's the ends of it. You see the little gaps are all nice and tightly held up. So now that's sprung inwards as if it was running in the cylinder. Now we can machine the outside to the diameter it's going to run at. So this should now be 1.263, and I want it to be somewhere between 1.264 and 1.262. Where are we? 0.263. I think we call that pretty much perfect. There we are, 1.263 is what it's sitting at. So that is now the outside diameter of the ring turned. And what we can now do is to take it out of the little fixture. So get the spanner. Let's take this out of the way. And now, when I undo this, you'll see it'll spring out because that's the size it wants to be. Undo that. There we are. You see the gap up here? So that now, let's take that off. You saw how it was being clamped on its end faces to hold it in. That's the sort of end washer that clamps. So now it's obviously loose on that bit there. And that is the finished Clupit piston ring. And when it's like that and held in the bore, it is going to be perfectly round because we've just machined it on the lathe. One finished Clupit piston ring. When it goes in like that, I've even filed all the little angles pretty much spot on, I think. So that now is one of eight that I've got to make. So here we've got the bobbin, or the piston valve itself. So there's two, one for each cylinder, and each one's got two ends, and each end has got two piston rings for it. So that's why we've got to make eight of these little Clupit rings. Here's the Clupit piston ring, And that will then, we'll just put a trial fit. Oh, so this is the one to go in the left-hand cylinder of Bongo. And these two little holes are just so I can put a long screw or shaft with a screw thread on it to pull them out. Otherwise, you can't ever get them back out again. So that can now just go in here. So I can hold the ring. The pointy bits actually make quite good little grippers. And just slip the ring onto its thing. So the ring now sits in there. And then it can be squeezed into position. There's a bit of muck in there stopping it going in, but it will then, when it's running in the engine, it forms a complete double ring round, and obviously it's more compressed when it's in, that gap essentially disappears. So that should be completely steam tight. And there's two on each one. Clupit piston ring on piston valve, ready for fitting. Only seven more to make now.